we're going to turn straight to our Bibles, and we're going to head to 1 Samuel in chapter 1, and the topic of the talk today is God hears your prayers. A prayer, a petition, a supplication, a request, a wish, a will, a cry out aloud. All these things are called a prayer. And why the Bible describes prayer is that when we communicate with each other, we're communicating, I'm giving you a conversation right now, so I'm talking toward you, and my conversation is toward you, and we get a reply back. And God saying prayer is to Him, to God. God is a spirit. And when we pray, make supplication, put a request in, when we're sitting down on our, we were talking to the kids here as well today, side of your bed. I remember just hearing different kids receiving the Holy Spirit. Andrew, who did the choruses here today, was not able to be baptized till he was, where is Andrew? 5 years? From the time he received the Holy Ghost to when he was baptized, 5 years. There's many times where the only time he could pray, because he was in a house where he wasn't able to pray aloud, was quietly in his room as a child. But God heard his prayers. And that's what we want to talk about today. God hears your prayers, first and foremost. So we're going to go here in 1 Samuel, chapter 1. And it says here in verse 9, this is about Hannah. And this one is a quiet whisper prayer. So we're going to look at different prayers today. So Hannah rose after they'd eaten Shiloh and had after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat up upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. So she's gone to the house of God to pray. And it says here, the description that we get of Hannah was that she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore. She was crying out very, very, very personal. She was really upset, really deeply sad, and was quite hopelessly frustrated with her life. Because she was calling out to the Lord, it says here, and she made a vow, which we get here in verse 11, so we get this, we have the ability to read what she was making a vow of. She made a vow, O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaiden, and remember me, and forget not thine handmaiden, but will give unto thine handmaiden a man-child, then I'll give it unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head. We get an idea what the prayer request was. She was without child, and she was yearning desperately, desperately to have a child. And this description here, she was in bitterness of soul. Why? Because people were telling her off, paying her out. She was a failure because she didn't have a child. So it wasn't just the fact that she didn't have a child. There were people mocking her, paying her out, telling her off, calling her useless, unholy. You can't be of God because things are not working in your life. This is Lady Hannah. And it says here, and it came to pass that as she continued praying before the Lord, I'm talking this one as a quiet whisper, is that Eli marked her mouth. So he was just watching her mouth move. Now Hannah, she spoke in her heart, only her lips moved, but her voice was not heard. Then Eli thought she had been drunken. So we've got a little bit more of a salt to the wound. We've got a girl, a woman, a young woman, who has been paid out terribly, been insulted. She's turned to the Lord. She's in bitterness of soul, all that's upon her life. She's gone to the house of the Lord to talk to God, to communicate with God as a last desperate attempt. Please, Lord, hear my prayer. And she makes a vow she wants to have a child. And then on top of that, Eli, who's supposed to be looking after the temple, says she's drunk. And Eli said unto her, how long wilt thou be drunken, put away wine from thee? And Hannah answered, said, no, my Lord, I am a woman of a sorrowful spirit. I have drunk neither wine nor strong drink, but I have poured out my soul before the Lord. Count not thy handmaiden to be a daughter of Belial the devil. For out of the abundance of my complaint and grief have I spoken hitherto. So the description that we have of this woman at this particular time of her life, she has a complaint, she's in grief, she's of sorrowful of heart, and she's in bitterness of soul. She's in a desperately poor situation, the poor lady at the time. Eli finally realizes, probably because of the purity of her heart and the desperation of her soul, go in peace, verse 17, and the God of Israel grant thee thy petition as thou hast asked him. And she went on to have a child. A quiet whisper, her mouth moving. She's just talking to the Lord. That's all she was doing. She wasn't talking to any human being on the face of the earth, just to God. And that's what God heard and saw that girl get answered, and all the people said. Let's go to Matthew chapter 15. So this one here is a desperate prayer. Matthew, a short prayer. So the first one was a quiet whisper. Matthew 15, verse 22. And behold, a woman, we don't even know her name, a woman of Cana, came out of the same coast and cried, saying, have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously vexed with the devil. But he answered her not a word, and the disciples came beside him, saying, send her away, for she crieth after us. Well, I think they've got delusions of grandeur there, because she wasn't crying after them, she was crying after Christ. But he answered and said unto her, I'm not sent but to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And here's the prayer. Shortest prayer in the Bible, if you like. Then she came and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. One of the greatest prayers we can ever utter to the Lord in our hour of need is, Lord, just help me, help me. So her prayer was to Christ, but her prayer was to God. And the Lord answered and said unto her, it is not meet to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. She said, of a truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith, be it unto thee as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. So this young lady had a daughter, a little girl, very sick. This description is that she's got some sort of vexed situation with the devil. And Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Shortest prayer in the whole Bible, and yet God undertook. So in this situation, our prayers don't necessarily have to be long. He just hears our prayer. We've got testimonies here today. Who, if you don't mind, maybe you don't have to raise your hand, but how many times have you called out to the Lord, young or old, and you said, Lord, help me? You know, as a child, as an adult, all through our life. As a child, I remember, I've said this before, that I was about 5 when I first started to think about God. I remember being outside and there was a full moon and this white little rabbit ears type of thing. As a child, I thought that was God waving his hands at me, and I'd wave back as a 5-year-old in my backyard in Klemzig. I had a knowledge of God. So children that are in kids' camp, go to kids' camp. We know that you have a fundamental understanding of God, what God is. If you've seen in your parents and your brothers or sisters in the fellowship, God hears your prayer too. Young children lying in bed or, you know, on the swing, in the playground, wherever you might be, God hears your prayers. In that corner over there, are all the people that don't like you. In that corner over there, are all the people that like you. You walk by that door, and you open it up, and you hear everybody bagging you, telling you what a horrible person you are at school, and you're a Christian weirdo, and you've got a weird family, etc. And you open up the door, and you hear all that. And you close that door. And you go over to that door. And you open up that door and you hear everybody saying, what a great person you are. What a kind person. What a good girl you are. Good guy. You stay there and you ignore that. When God, who hears everybody speaking upon the face of the earth, I don't know how he hears everybody. He hears people telling him off, paying him out. If God is real, why does he let this happen? That's the door that God hears all the time. But when he hears you talking to him, he is a friend, a young child, a friend of God. So he's there listening to you. Every time you pray, every time you talk to God, he hears a friend. He loves to hear from friends, just like when you open up that door and you hear your friends saying nice things about you. When we go to God, we say nice things about God, don't we? Because we love God and he hears our prayers. So here, this young woman, little kid, little child, really troubled, Lord, help me. And God answers. That was a short prayer. I want to show you a photo, if we can. We're going to go to a photo. Okay? Now, this one here, is Tim Rod around? There he is. This is Tim's auntie. Auntie Vicky, isn't it? So Tim's mother is Vicky, Sister Vicky's sister. That's their wedding day. Next day? Next photo? That's them now. David and Vicky Hillier. Now, Vicky, 1977, I was living an alternate lifestyle, living in communes and traveling around the world. I'd been arrested. I was troubled with the police. I was selling heroin, taking LSD, smoking marijuana. When drugs weren't available, I drank flagons of wine, smoked 90 cigarettes a day. You wouldn't think that when you're looking at the photo of Vicky there. I had hepatitis from dirty needles using heroin, and I thought I was having a fantastic time. After I heard about miracles happening today, I went to a revival meeting. As I was praying by myself, this is just Vicky praying on her own, after all that she's done in her life, God, I'm just reading from a brochure here, in one of the testimonies, God filled me with the Holy Spirit and I spoke in tongues. I was then baptized with full immersion the same night. I knew my old life had been buried. I wanted to do the things of God's way, and I was looking into my Bible. I was changing inwardly, but then I started changing outwardly. You can see that there. It wasn't long before I started to look normal again. He healed me of hepatitis, healed me of my addictions. Smoking just left me straight away, and when the Holy Spirit came within, no one told me I had to give anything up. It just left me. That's a powerful testimony, isn't it? Now, that girl there, Vicky, witnessed to Ben Robinson over there, and Ben witnessed to me. So it's all her fault, okay? She said, it's all her fault. So then, David, he was 11 years old when he received the Holy Spirit. And we're going to go to Zephaniah. Oh, hey, no, just wait here. Get some, stay the photo. David was 11 when he received the Holy Ghost. His parents were in the fellowship, Reginald and Hillier. At 18, just before he turned 18, after about 3 or 4 days, he had an aspirin for about 3 days. The fourth day, in the very early hours of the morning, he goes into his mum and dad's room and says, Mum, I can't breathe. He collapses on the end of the bed. This is the very early hours of the morning of this person collapsing, David. Mum and dad wake up, start praising the Lord, seeking the Lord. Froth in the mouth. Reg used to be in the army. He knows how to give CPR, mouth to mouth. With foam coming out of his mouth, tries up in the wind, the breathing apparatus here for his throat. And he's not successful. Reg said, death rattle came upon him, went grey, and then he died in his father's arms. Next verse, next photo. Next photo, thank you. This was on the floor, photo of the scripture. But a couple of days earlier, Uncle Reg, his sister had given him a photo, a picture of a scripture, this one here. He hadn't even put up on the wall, but it was actually on the floor of the bedroom. And when his son collapsed, he saw that scripture on the ground and he called out to the Lord. If we go to Zephaniah, Zephaniah Zephaniah in the Old Testament. Zephaniah in chapter 3. Two scriptures are on that photo, that picture that he was given to him. And this is part of the top one. In verse 5. Zephaniah in chapter 3. The Lord is the midst thereof, he will do no iniquity, he will do no sin. Every morning doth he bring his judgment to light, he faileth not, that the unjust knoweth not no shame. So he saw the one part of the scripture, he faileth not, that God faileth not. Go to Psalms. Psalms 37. Psalm 37, verse 28. For the Lord loveth judgment, and forsaketh not his saints. Therefore they are preserved forever, but the seed of the wicked shall be cut off. So in that poster, if you like, to go up on the wall, in his hour of need, with Reg, he's now asleep in the Lord in his 90s, ex-army man, been to New Guinea in the early hours of the morning, just recapping the picture. Dad, I'm not very well after having aspirin till 3 days. Very early hours of the morning, they get awoken to a son. He says, I can't breathe. He collapses. He's got froth. He's coming out of his mouth. He can't breathe. Mouth-to-mouth resuscitation. Death rattle grey and dies in his father's arms. At that moment, Reg looks down on the ground and sees this picture. Two scriptures, which is only part of it. He faileth not. He faileth not and forsakes not his people. And he called out to the Lord and quoted those two scriptures at God. And then David starts breathing. And that's a miracle. And all the people said, and that is God hearing our prayers. God hears your prayers. In this situation, it was a short prayer. It was a desperate prayer. One way or the other is going to go. It was a desperate prayer, just like this woman, the Canaanite woman, and God answered. And that's our God. So let's go to the next one. We're going to go to Luke in chapter 1. Luke chapter 1. We rejoice that God hears us. So I asked God when I was 5, if you're real God, show me who you are. So I'd hear things at school. I went to a Catholic school and there'd be parting of the water, the Red Sea. Wow, I'd go home and ask my mum, what's that? She said, oh, it's a dodge tide. Oh, that'll. And when Jesus died on the cross, I'd go, wow, what a story. Mum, what's that? Oh, it's a solar eclipse. So there's everything got naturalized as a reason. So, oh, okay. But as I grew older and older and older, from child, I wanted to know if God was real. The story of Jesus Christ, that story, him, was he real? And the more I got involved in drugs, the more that became, no, God wasn't real. But things would happen along the way where you'd ask God for help, or you'd be in trouble with drugs, you'd taken too many drugs, and you'd call out to God because you feel like something in way, you're overdosing or you're losing control, and you'd call out to God and God would hear. In his hour of needs that he does. That's our God. Let's go to, as I said, Luke chapter 1. Zacharias. This prayer here is a very private prayer. We have no voice that we hear in this prayer. We actually don't know what he says at all. And we sometimes pray to God that only you know your prayer to God. You've never uttered it to anybody else, but you know your prayer to God. There's no voice. No one's heard your prayer. You've just said something to God. And it says here in Zechariah chapter 1 that he was a just man, verse 6, though righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and ordinance of the Lord, blameless, good people. They had no child because Elizabeth was barren and they both were now well stricken in years. And it came to pass that while he executed the priest's office before God in the order of his course, According to the custom of the priest's office, his lot was to burn incense, which when he went into the temple of the Lord. So we got kids camp and we make chocolates and we make candles and we make jewelry, dye our t-shirts, and every year there's a certain pattern way in which we get taught. This man here was to make sure that the candle in the house of the Lord was kept alight day and night, every day and every night. It was his, they'd have shifts, no doubt. It was his turn, and he did it very well. He was very good at doing his job unto the Lord, to keep the house of the Lord the pure incense, the scent of, in the Revelation, it talks in a way that incense, like the prayers of the saints going up into to the Lord. And in the temple of God, you had this incense, which was quite a pure and lovely fragrance that was going out into the temple of God. And now he was to keep it alive in the morning, clean it, reset it, and then at night to do the same thing. So he did it, says he did it according to the customs of the time. He's just a very decent man. And there appeared unto him an angel of the Lord standing on the right side of the altar of the incense. When Zechariah saw him, he was troubled, and fear fell upon him. But the angel said unto him, "Fear not, Zechariah, for thy prayer is heard. And thy wife shall bear thee a son, and thou shalt call his name John." There was no prayer. We don't read about the prayer. We don't hear it. We just happen to know that there was a really good, decent human being here, a very faithful, loving man of God, and his wife, who were, you know, creating a situation where people could pray to God. They could go to the temple of God. It was done right, so people had faith and had confidence of what he was doing in the house of God at the time was right and correct. And when people were coming to pray in the time of the prayer of incense, it was designated there that the people came and they knew that it was being done right. And he was a really decent, decent man. But he had something that he was calling out to the Lord on, him and his wife, that no one else knew, that we don't read about. And it says here, "Thy prayers have been heard." What prayer? What prayer, we don't know, other than that the prayer that this man had was to him and to God. That prayer. And that prayer God heard, and later on he has a child. Let's go to 1 Peter chapter 3, just to finish on. Okay, so if you're here today, Hannah, quiet prayer, muttering something in her lips. People didn't know what it was. "You're a drunk," but we get a description of how she was feeling at the time. God heard her prayer. We've got the woman, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me," and God did. We've got David and Vicky Hillier, who the Lord mightily blessed in that moment, in that early hours of that morning, unexpectedly, the suddenness of that situation. And David is still alive today. And he said here, I texted him this morning, and he said, "I was nearly 18 when I died, when I was raised up, when I was healed and totally delivered from asthma. Never happened again." That's our God. A God who answers by our request, our petition that we put to him. So in that one there, it was in a bedroom. No one else was around. Mum and Dad woken up. God heard their cry of help. And then the last one we looked at, Zechariah, decent man over a long period of time. They were well aged, so this is something that's been on his heart a long, long time. And then one day, God said, "I've heard your prayer." And he probably never told anybody because he was a leader. And he didn't want to tell people, maybe. But we have no record of him communicating that prayer. But the angel says, "Your prayers have been heard." God hears us talking to him at all times. And just in closing, in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 12, "The eyes of the Lord are open, are over the righteous, and his ears are open unto their prayers, but the face of the Lord is against them that do evil." The Lord's heard your prayer if you've been coming here to have a look today. He's heard your prayer of desperation and pondering, wondering whether God's real. He's heard that. No doubt about it, as he heard my request when I was in the world. But what will you do with that today? Will you be baptized? Will you submit, give in to God and let him take over your life and be filled with the Holy Ghost? Will you do that? Because if you do, you'll live a good life, and a life that when things come upon you, maybe suddenly, where you had no pre-warning like Regina Enid, and there will be God for you waiting for you to help you out. There's a baptism tank. When I was baptized back in 1981, down by the beach at Karakalinga, the days leading up to that before, I was drinking, I was smoking, I was taking drugs, I had cigarettes in the rack bag that I had, and God changed my life. 7:10, April the 18th in 1981, I received the Holy Ghost. Ben was praying with me in a car park down at Karakalinga Beach. And I called out to God. I said, God, give me the Holy. I couldn't get the word ghost out. I didn't say hallelujah, hallelujah. I just said, God, give me the Holy. And I couldn't get the word ghost out, and I spoke in tongues. In that second, I knew that God was real. In that moment, drugs, cigarettes, alcohol, taken away. Do you know when I first asked that prayer? I was about 5. If you're real, whoever you are, God, who are you? At 21, God answered. God listens to his children. God listens to us. We're his children. He listens to us at every age of our life. Today is a chance for you to be baptized. Today is a chance for you to let go and let God have his way with you and give you a full life. And all the people said,